and WPRS HD2 Waldorf, Washington, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCnews.com.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just gonna keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hey, there's my son. You've been in your room all morning.
Hey, Dad.
Matt, what's wrong with your voice?
There is nothing wrong with my voice.
Oh, well, it's just sort of...
I have been playing my video games and electronic games for so many hours.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like it might be time for you to take a break, or...
Hello, Dad.
Susan?
I have been watching TV and text messaging all morning. Yay, electronics. Yay.
Guys, I think it's about time to get in the car and take a little trip. Maybe see some trees, some green things.
What are these green things you speak of?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but... I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
Good morning and welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Now for today's show, here's attorney Ethel Mitchell.
Good morning. This is attorney Ethel Mitchell, your host. Welcome to everyone who's listening live throughout the world on Radio 1, 1450 AM, WLDCnews.com, and LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com. We have a great program for you today. I'm going to talk about 10 important things that everyone should be sure of today. So listen and hopefully learn some new things. This program is brought to you by my law office, Wills and Trust, LLC, where I prepare wills, trust, power of attorneys, medical directives. So if anyone you know or you need a will, a trust, or assistance administering an estate, call me at 202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988. And before I forget, I did want to announce that I will be speaking at Shiloh Baptist Church next Saturday, right after the radio program. That's Shiloh Baptist at 1500 9th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. If you want to come, you must RSVP to David Hayes and register at FedMSeminar, FedMSeminar, at shilohbaptist.org, or you can call David at 202-643-4378. And again, that's next week, the 31st of January. I will be speaking about these matters at Shiloh Baptist Church, and you are welcome to come, just RSVP, and you can, you know, ask questions and so forth at that time. And, of course, you can always ask questions on the radio here by calling 1-800-450-7876. Law is powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. It impacts everything you do. What you don't know can hurt you, and what you do know can empower you. So each week, this program, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, aims to empower you by bringing you professionals who know the law. All of our programs are archived on my website, lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. Just hit the archive button, and if you missed a program, you can go there, and they are posted there. We want you to be part of the conversation, so my executive producer, Stacy Royster, is standing by throughout the program to pass along your comments or questions. You can call us at 1-800-450-7876. That's 1-800-450-7876. Tweet us at LawTalkEM and like us on Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell on Facebook. What you hear on this program is for information purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is established by anything that's said on this program. Each person's circumstances really are different, so you must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. So let's get started. During some of my previous programs, you've heard me talk about ways to own title to property, life estates, transfer on death deeds, power of attorneys, advanced medical directives, etc., etc. So I've decided today to dedicate this program to the top 10 important things that everyone should be sure of. And then next week, I'm going to have attorney Donna Sachs on, and she's going to talk about planning for potential Medicaid situations. You know, when somebody goes into a nursing home, how to protect your property, if there are ways of protecting your property from being attached by Medicaid. So listen next week for that program. It should be an excellent program. Today I'm going to flip the script, or here, I'm going to flip the mic. And my executive producer, Stacy Royster, is going to have a conversation with me and ask me questions today as my co-host.
Good morning, Ethel. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Stacy. Welcome.
Well, as many of you know, and for newcomers, I just want to tell you a little bit about our host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. She has more than 20 years of legal experience, and she has distinguished herself as a leading practitioner focusing on wills, trust, estate planning, and probate. She is a sought-after legal advisor and frequent legal affairs orator. Ms. Mitchell is a member of the Bar Associations of Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Texas, United States Virgin Islands, and Ghana. Attorney Mitchell completed undergraduate studies at Fisk University, and she received her Juris Doctor degree from Columbia Law School, and then served as law clerk to Chief Judge Christian in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. So, welcome, Attorney Ethel Mitchell.
Thank you very much.
So, as Attorney Mitchell mentioned at the top of the show, she's going to discuss the top 10 things everyone should know. So let's start with minor children. What should you know if you have minor children?
Okay. If you have minor children, you should know who would take care of those children if you died. You should know who's going to manage the money that you leave for those children if you died. You should know and make arrangements in writing in a legally enforceable way to take care of those children. And there are several things that you should do, and there are several things you absolutely should not do. Let me start with the negative, because I've seen this in my practice over the years. You should not put a minor's child name on your bank account, your deed to your house, and on your life insurance, because the court is going to take control of that until that minor reaches the age of majority. A minor, once their name is on your deed, cannot sign that deed. You cannot refinance. You cannot do a reverse mortgage, because the interest of the minor is such that the court's protected. And once that minor's name is on the deed until they reach the age of majority, you really are kind of, your hands are tied as a practical matter. Do not try to get around this by putting a family member's name on your life insurance policy. I've had people come to me, they have these big policies, they have a $100,000, $500,000 life insurance policy, it's for their children, and so they name their brother or their sister or their somebody else to get the money. Mm-hmm. Because they believe that that person is going to take care of their children. Well, when you do that, that money becomes the money of that person. Their creditors can come and get that money. There's no guarantee that they're going to use it to take care of your children. And even if they wanted to give it to your children when they reach the age of majority, they've got a potential gift tax situation, because when you give to anyone more than $14,000, unless it's like you're paying a bill for your child in college or something like that, then you got to file a gift tax return. And that can kind of mess with their own tax situation and their own estate planning and so forth. Plus, you never know. That person could die before your children reaches the age of majority. And all that money now goes into their estate. Mm. And your children are probably not going to be heirs to their estate.
Right, and especially if they have their own children.
Their own children, they're married to somebody else.
Wow.
You know, so please don't try to get around that by doing that. The better way to do it is to have a proper trust prepared to receive this money. You can still name the same person as the trustee to manage the money, but that money is clearly not their money. It is designated for your children. You say, use this money to send my children to college. Use this money to pay for their medical bills. Use this money to help them buy a home. And you can even divvy it out and say, okay, when they finish college, they can get $10,000 or whatever, but not until they reach 30 do they get half of it, maybe help them buy, you know, start a business and so on. And then when they reach 35 or so, maybe they can get all of it. And if they need it, you can give it to them. But then you have legally put title restrictions and what's called a fiduciary relationship that makes it very clear it's not their money. they are managing it for the benefit of your child.
And then it changes, as you mentioned, the tax implications.
Totally. They can then give because it's their own money that they're giving to them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have anyone in your family that you trust to do this kind of thing, you can name a bank. Banks, trust institutions, brokerage houses, and other sorts of institutions will act as trustees to manage the money for the children. And in fact, you can even name a natural person in your family and an institution to manage the money for your minor children. Okay?
That is
so that's
such
so important
information.
It really is, because a lot of people don't realize that. And as a practical matter, you don't want an 18-year-old child getting $200,000 either.
No.
Okay? So, you know, even when you put it in the court, you know, let's say you put the minor's child name on it, and the court takes it over, they're going to turn it over to that child at 18 years old. And I've had clients who get that kind of money, and all of a sudden they have boyfriends and girlfriends out the yang, and they buy
and family
cars
members.
Oh, my God, yes. You know, they buy cars for cash, and they just don't know what to do with it, and the money's gone. And it's wasted.
In no time.
So when you have minor children, make sure to take care of them and make sure that you know who's going to manage that money for them. And even when you are married, you may want to provide a certain portion of your money will go to your spouse and a certain portion of your money will be set aside for your minor children for the same reason. Because
absolutely.
Your spouse could remarry,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
your spouse could die, could do any number of things, but at least your minor children's money has been legally set aside and it's available for them. So that's something you should know if you have minor children.
That okay? is so important. If you're listening out there, you have questions for Attorney Ethel Mitchell about what to do with your money in terms of managing minor children, call the show right now, 1-800-450-7876. We'll be glad to answer a few questions.
Right.
So, Ethel, tell us, what about managing, what should you know about your home or your land?
Okay. Anybody that owns property should have a copy of their deed. Okay? So, a lot of people, a long time ago, they used to tell you, I'm not going to give you your deed until you finish paying your mortgage. Well, the reality is that if you have a mortgage, you have a deed, and the deed and the mortgage are recorded. They have to be a public record, and so when we come back, I'm going to tell you how you can go and get your deed. Any deed is a public record. It costs $4 or $5, and you can go and get it. Okay?
Okay. We'll be right back.
News updates on the web at WOLDCnews.com.
District residents, act now and you can get discounted rates and shave hundreds of dollars off your utility bills. Utility discount programs are offered by Pepco, Washington Gas, Verizon, and DC Water. Find out if you qualify. Call 311 today. Qualified residents will get an appointment date with the District Department of the Environment's Energy Office to apply for the utility discount programs. To apply for the telephone discount lifeline service, call 800-253-0846. For complete program details, visit ddoe.dc.gov.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, the world is your office with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business with all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome, NBA fans. Tonight's NBA
Man,
matchup.
Nothing beats seeing an NBA game in person.
Hey, buddy, thanks again for driving. So, where are our seats?
Oh, we're sitting right around the corner.
Hey, but before we do anything, let me stop for a second at the designated driver booth and make the pledge.
Excuse me, sir, did you say designated driver?
Yeah, I'm the designated driver tonight.
Congratulations, you are a winner. And for being the designated driver and always buckling up, every trip, every time, you have won the adoration of your friends and family who will get home safely from the game.
Cool!
Your prize also includes the gratitude of all of the drivers on the road who won't have to fear for their lives. And finally, you've won the chance to follow your favorite NBA team to the NBA Finals because responsibility has its rewards.
Woo! Yeah!
To find out more, visit the designated driver booth at the arena or visit RHIR.org. A message from this station and Team Coalition.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? But everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
As I went through school.
Welcome back. This is Stacey Royster, executive producer of Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. And today I'm serving as the guest host with attorney Ethel Mitchell as our fantastic expert. And she's talking about the top 10 things that everyone should be aware of. So mm-hmm. We started out talking about everything that minor children, you should know if you have minor children, and we were now discussing what you should know about your home or land. And if you have any questions, just call the studio line at 1-800-450-7876. And if you have questions for Attorney Mitchell later on, you can reach her at her law office at Wilson Trust LLC, and the phone number there is 202-772-1988. So, Attorney Mitchell, let's. What do we need to know about your home and land?
Okay. As a legal matter, you should have a copy of your deed. Go to wherever the recorder of deeds office is and ask, give them the address, and they will give you a copy of the deed. It may cost you $4 or $5, but it's worth it. When I do estate planning for people, I always tell them, bring me a copy of your deed, because a lot of times deeds say things that are a little different from what you think, okay? But you need to have a copy of your deed, especially if you inherited the property from someone. You need to know whose name is on that deed. You need to know if you are husband and wife, if it says joint tenants or tenants by the entirety. If you are siblings, you need to know, does it say joint tenants or does it say tenants in common? Those things mean different things, mm-hmm. Okay? As a legal matter, another thing that you want to be careful of is do not put somebody else's name on your deed unless you know you want them there for the rest of your life, because you cannot get it off without their permission. I have a lot of clients.
Ooh, that's tricky.
All right, that is real tricky. Over the years, for years and years, I've had people come into the office. They were either married and later got divorced, and they put the spouse's name on the deed, and they can't get that spouse's name off the deed because they won't sign the deed. And you cannot make them sign a deed. It may not even happen during a divorce. Okay? So you're there paying the mortgage, taking care of the house, and they're owning half of it.
No matter if they help to pay for it or
doesn't
not.
Doesn't matter.
If you put their name on the deed.
If their name is on that deed, okay, they've got an interest in it. A few weeks ago, somebody called me. Another thing, you can't be a little bit married, okay? If you are married, you are married. If you are not divorced, you are married. I get children calling me saying, my mother and father have been separated for 30-odd years. And, you know, so nobody, one of them's paying the mortgage and taking care of everything. Sometimes even the children have put money into the house.
And it doesn't matter.
Then when one person died, the other one shows up. Just
wow.
Like clockwork. They want their share. And if their name is on it, as tenants by the entirety, they've got all of it.
The entire house.
The entire house. That's right. Because it happens automatically on death. So if you are a newlywed and you're not sure this, even if you're sure it's going to happen, my advice to you is wait a while. You know, make sure this is going to stick. Make sure the bills are being paid equitably and so forth before you put somebody's name on your deed, because you can't get it off. All right? The other thing that you should know is your boundaries. You need to walk the boundaries of your land. And when I say you should get a copy of your deed, if you are a part of air property, so many of us have what we call air property up this way, mm-hmm. where, you know, it's in the name of your great-grandfather, and it's, you know, 10, 15 acres somewhere, God only knows where. You need to go out there, walk those boundaries, make sure that they're properly cut, okay? It's a great way to teach your children about the history of your family. A lot of that property, our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents paid for them literally in blood, sweat, and tears
mm-hmm.
because they were slaves on that property. They don't make any more land, as my grandmother used to say. So you don't be selling property, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But even if you do, you've got to get the title straight. So you want to get a copy of the deed. You want to get a copy of the map that shows the boundaries of those properties. So that's something that if you own property, any part of property, you need to have the deed. You need to have the boundaries. Before you buy property, you need to look at it, look at the boundaries. Make sure nobody's encroaching on your boundaries. Even right here in D.C., there are places where somebody built on your boundary. You buy that property, you buy that that problem. And so before you put your money down, you want to make sure, yes, the title company is supposed to check, but you need to check yourself. Okay?
I've even seen situations where in certain developments where somebody's decided to erect a fence.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got it, you know, and then some people
and block
get,
somebody off.
Some people get petty. Well, you know, they're 2 inches over on
oh,
my
yeah.
side.
But
it's your
real.
Property.
It's your property. It's your property. And make sure the ingress and egress mm-hmm. is available to especially country land. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure you have a way to get in and a way to get out. All right. So that's definitely something you need to know when you own a home or when you own land. Get a copy of that deed. That's really, really important. And if you don't understand what it says or it doesn't say what you think it does or it has some strange person's name on it, come see a lawyer so we can take care of it for you while the person is alive. Another thing before we leave this one, not that long ago, women could not get a mortgage without having a man's name on the deed. Okay, I still have that. People walk in with that. And so what would happen is even though the woman could afford it, they would put their brother's name on the deed. You know, maybe they weren't married or something. And so they would have to put their brother's name on the deed. If you don't get that brother's name off that deed,
it belongs to him.
Yes, yes. And your will cannot supersede what's on the deed. So even if you do a will, if that brother's, I've had it happen, where the brother's name was on the deed as joint tenants, and when the lady died, that property went to the brother was sick, the brother died, his wife got that lady's house.
And didn't do the right thing, and she didn't have to.
Oh, no, indeed not. She didn't have to.
Oh, my.
Never paid a dime. You hear me?
Well, we're hearing it, you know, straight from the expert. Get your business straight.
Get
That's
your
the
business
bottom
straight.
Line.
That's really important. It
wow.
really is. So you need to know those things.
Okay.
You need to know those things.
So, Ethel, let's talk a bit about bank accounts and savings and retirement and life insurance. What should people know about those things?
Okay, the first thing you need to know with bank accounts and security accounts and savings accounts, CDs, retirement accounts, is whose name it's in. You need to go to the bank and make sure, or look at your bank statements, make sure it says your name, number one, and number two, if anybody else's name is on that title to that bank account. Mm-hmm. In what way is it on? Is it on as power of attorney, or is it on as a co-owner? That's important to know. There's a very big distinction between the two. All banks have their own power of attorney forms. So let's say you're helping to take care of your mother or your father, and they want you to sign their checks. Do not depend on always having a friendly banker who knows you,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to go in one day and that banker's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a new supervisor, mm-hmm. and they don't care if you've been doing this for 20 odd years. If your name is not on that bank account as a power of attorney, then they can deny your right to access to that money, or they can reject a check that you signed. So you want to go to the bank with your loved one and have them put you on as a power of attorney. Now, still, you only put somebody on as a power of attorney on your account that you trust.
Absolutely.
Okay? Now, please understand that. Regardless of what I'm saying, you don't be putting everybody on your bank account. All right, but you want them on as power of attorney because you don't want their creditors to come and get your money.
Oh, that's so important.
Okay, if you put them on as a owner, as a co-owner, their creditors can come get your money, and they can take all your money, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I've had that to happen, even between husband and wife. I had a client whose husband went in and took $250,000 out of her bank account.
And she legally could do that.
Of course.
The way they had it set up.
Oh, yeah. And when they went through the divorce, the judge said, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. Because you put his name on the account. And she lost her house
and
behind
that.
He had
equal rights to
it. Absolutely. Oh, wow. Whoever's name is on as a co-owner has mm-hmm. equal rights mm-hmm. to it. Now, if you have them on as power of attorney, they are your agent. And in theory, you can sue them. You can get the money back because they weren't doing what you said. But as if they sign a check to somebody else, you can't go after that other person because you did put them on as power of attorney.
So important.
It is really, really important.
As people are aging, if you have people who are sick or in unforeseen
If they expect you to take care of them, put them on as power of attorney.
Okay.
Okay? Now, if you want them to get the money after your death, you can also put them on as payable on death beneficiary.
And you go in with a death certificate at that point.
And then they can get the money.
Okay.
Okay? But that's the distinction. That's the difference. In your retirement accounts and your life insurance policies, make sure you get a copy of the beneficiary designations. Okay? You should know who you've named on your beneficiary designations. A lot of people start at work 40-odd years ago. They were 18, 19 years old, right out of high school. They gave their mother's name or their father's name, and the mother and father are long dead. They've never changed it, or maybe you've divorced from one spouse and you still have their name on your retirement account or on your life insurance. If they are there, the check is going to that person. Mm. Regardless, okay?
And at the top of the show, we were talking about how to care for minor children. What about beneficiary designations in these type of circumstances?
It's not advised.
Okay.
It's not advised because they're not going to write a check to a minor child.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to go into court and get a guardian appointed. That money has to be either deposited in the court in some instances, or every dime that's spent has to be approved by the court. So even if you put the child's name on it and your spouse, who is also the child's parent, is named as a guardian, they still have to ask permission from the court to use that money, you see.
If you do
a trust, you can then make the trust the beneficiary for the children, name the same spouse as trustee, and then they have control over that money, again, for the purposes of taking care of the child, but they don't have to be reporting to the court what you've done.
And what else should people know, if anything else, about power of attorneys? How, you know, when should you consider doing that? Should you just do it as a matter of...
Every responsible adult should have a power of attorney. Because nobody knows when you might get hit by a car, you might get struck by, you know, bad health. And power of attorneys are important in simple things. It's not necessarily you have to be a big businessman or you have, you know, complicated legal affairs to deal with. I've had people to call me and say the lights were turned off for their elderly loved one because they hadn't paid their bill. They forgot to pay their bill. And when they call up to the power company, Pepco, Pepco is saying, well, who are you?
Yeah, we can't talk
We can't talk to you about this person's bill. Or the phone is cut off, and they try and talk to the phone company. I've had a wife call me and say, I can't even find out what benefits my husband has at his job because I don't have a power of attorney. So you see, the power of attorney is effective for things like that. When you have named somebody to be your power of attorney in writing, in a properly drawn up document, mm-hmm. you just fax that power of attorney into that, you know, bank or into the, you know, Pepco or into, you know, the credit card company or whatever, then they'll talk to you.
And that is that what's considered a durable power of attorney? And
yes. Then the difference is a durable power of attorney continues in existence when the person becomes incompetent.
Okay.
A non-durable power of attorney stops when the person becomes incompetent, which is exactly the opposite of what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some states have now changed their law where it's presumed to be durable, but I wouldn't even take a chance. All my power of attorneys say that they are durable because that's when you have to use it.
Right.
More than any other time when the person becomes incompetent.
And then there are medical power of attorneys or medical directives.
Yes. Those are usually this, I mean, I put them together. They're not always together, but it's the living will where you say if you want to be on life support or not.
Mm-hmm.
In extreme circumstances, in a vegetative state or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and you authorize somebody to be your HIPAA agent to make decisions for you. The doctors can talk to them. They can share medical information with them. They can sign releases for your care. They can sign you in and out of the hospital. They can transfer you. They can make decisions, and they can do that without becoming responsible for your bills if it's drawn up properly.
And in the instance of medical directives,
mm-hmm.
If you have planning documents in place, let's say that your lawyer has set up,
mm-hmm.
and I show up at the hospital and I'm saying to the doctor, I am empowered to, you know, make decisions for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Is it best to file it with the, you know, how do you just
keep it? In a lot of times, you give a copy of it to your primary care physician.
Okay.
And if you're going into the hospital, they're asking for them now.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking for those documents. So they know who they can talk to. They know what your wishes are. And it's right on file. Everything's scanned in now these days.
Okay.
And so they will know it. Unless and that's really important.
Unless it's a true, you know, emergency, like you said, car accident, and you're medevaced somewhere, and
there are actually agencies
mm-hmm.
that are you can put something like a card in your wallet.
Okay.
And you can send your forms to, once you've signed them, you send them to this company, and if the doctors or the EMT find this card, they know that they can contact this company and your information is right there. And so they will send immediately the information to the doctors or to the hospital, and that way the hospitals will know who to call because your agent's name and phone numbers are on there.
Oh,
you
that
see.
Is so important.
So that is, yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people really know about
They don't know about that, right. And that's important, especially for people who have chronic illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I have a lot of clients that have chronic illnesses, multiple sclerosis, you know, really high blood pressure, things like that, that if you don't get to the right person quickly, they can't tell you what's wrong, you see, when they have a crisis. So those kind of things. And if somebody's expecting you to take care of them, it's important to have those documents. So you can say to your mother or your father, look, you want me to take care of you. Well, I heard this lawyer on the radio, and they said you got to put this stuff in writing. So, you know, give me a call so we can put it in writing. Then you don't have to worry about it.
And that's good, I suspect. You know, for instance, I have four siblings, so there are mm-hmm. five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And suppose, you know, all five of us had differing opinions about what
should happen. Oh, it happens all the time.
Parent, right? So if they have it in writing.
In writing, it makes such a difference. I've had, even in my own family, where everybody wanted to let the mother go except one.
Right.
And it got seriously heated.
Right.
And it was about to get real ugly. And those kinds of rifts are not always, you know, you can't always recover from that. So those are the kind of things you should know and you should put in place. You really should. And you should have conversations with your loved one about end-of-life care.
Mm-hmm.
You really should, so you know what they want. You know if they want, do everything you can to keep me alive.
Right.
Or, you know what, if I get to a certain place where I'm going to die anyway, you know, then just keep me comfortable. It's my quality of life that I want to be able to see you. I want to be at home. I want to be as pain-free as possible. I want to be treated with dignity and respect. You know, those kinds of things. And you can put that in writing.
And what about end-of-life instructions such as, you know, I'd like to not go into a nursing home. If possible, I want to stay at home.
That you can put all that in there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can put all that in there. You
That's
know.
Very
and,
important.
And, you know, and pick somebody who, to the extent possible, will follow your wishes. Now, there's some illnesses, they can't manage the pain at home.
Right. If it's medically necessary.
Yeah, and hospice has expanded tremendously in the past couple of years. So a lot of hospice situations will come to the homes now. And they will teach the family what to do. So a lot of wishes can be followed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we often talk about the importance of wills.
Yes.
So what should people know about wills?
Well, you need a will. Everybody needs a will. You need to say who gets your stuff. When you die, you can't take it with you. So you need to say who's going to get it and who's going to be in charge. But today what I want to stress is you need to tell the person where it is. I was in court last week. This poor lady was frantic. Her aunt had died. She knew that she was supposed to take care of her aunt's things. She didn't know where the will was. She suspected it was in the safety deposit box. She lived in Tennessee. The aunt lived in D.C. She was frantic, poor lady, and she was just here for a couple of days, you know? So if you want somebody to take care of your will and you've told them you're in my will, okay, either give them a copy of the will at the very least. Tell them where the original will is. Some people actually give the original will to the person, and that's a good thing. If everything else is equal, that's good. But if you're going to put your will into a safety deposit box, please put that person's name on the box and give them a key. Because if you do not, they have to go to court.
They can't access it.
They can't access it. And they've got there's a whole proceeding that you have to file in court a petition to open the safety deposit box. And that can take weeks and cost money. And that's before you start the petition to open the probate of the will, because you don't have the will yet. So please, when you have a will and you have a safety deposit box, put the person's name on the safety deposit box, tell them what bank it is in, and give them a key. If necessary, take them with you to the bank, introduce them to the bank officer, and say, this is my beloved. When I die, this is who's going to be in charge. So they know him, and they can just waltz on in there with the key, get the will, and go on and do what you told them to do. Okay.
And you know, speaking of wills and end of life, you know, what constitutes a legal will? Because
I can think of a
friend of mine whose grandmother died.
Mm-hmm.
She had handwritten her will, mm-hmm. so to speak, and her funeral wishes, including who mm-hmm. should read the scriptures and who should mm-hmm. say the prayer and what songs, you know, she wanted to be included in the program, and all of that was in a box under her bed. Now, so what
okay,
is a
true that's a
legal
really
will?
Good. A legal will should be witnessed by two people who saw you sign it, who say, you have to have what's called an attestation clause that says, I saw this person sign it. They were in their right mind. They knew what they were signing, okay? In Virginia, if you handwrite everything on the will and you sign it, it's accepted as what's called a holographic will, but then you have to have affidavits of two people proving that that is your handwriting. In D.C., a handwritten will even still has to have a signature. And I've had people bring me written documents, handwritten. It says will at the top, and there's no signature on it, and there are no witnesses. it's not a will. I can't use it.
And does it have to be dated? Like, are there other elements?
It should be dated. There are a whole bunch of things that ought to be in a will, okay? I mean, it is worth it to get a lawyer to do a proper will for you so that you are sure that your wishes are followed.
Now, I have to ask you this. I've seen a ton of places online, you know, do your own will.
Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Wills are very specific, and there's certain language in wills that a lot of people don't really understand the meaning of. And you can have a form will that says something. I remember a lady came in with a form will she had done from some online service or some form that she had gotten somewhere, and she was leaving money to a friend of hers, and it said something about, or his heirs. And I said, do you really want his children to get your money? And she's like, no. I said, but that's what it says.
You and see, suppose he had 7 other kids that you didn't know about.
Didn't know a thing about, you see? So it's important for somebody who knows what they're doing to do your will, okay?
Absolutely.
It really is important. And then it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's I even do an affidavit on people, for people to make it what we call self-proving.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's really important is if you have someone you want to benefit who is disabled,
mm-hmm.
and that person receives government assistance,
mm-hmm.
it is important to consult with a lawyer about that. The government, when it pays assistance to disabled persons, may and usually has a lien against their property when, you know, they receive money, often anything over $2,000. So if your heir has been receiving this money from the government, know that if you leave money to this heir or you leave part of your property for this heir, the government has a right to come in and take it.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of times we plan around it. Depending on what's involved, there's what's called special needs trust,
mm-hmm.
where you actually create a trust that holds that money in a way that keeps the government from getting it. Another thing that sometimes we do is we just don't name that person to receive money in your estate. And instead, there's a loved one, usually a sibling, who has already agreed, because people make arrangements for this, to take care of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might give in your will or in your trust the share of the disabled person to the person who's going to take care of them.
Okay.
Okay?
And you can name more than one person if you want to share that responsibility.
And just give it to them. Now, you can't say it's for them. You still have to say it's given to the non-disabled person.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to say I trust that they will, or I expect them to, but it is a total outright gift to them. So it's clear that the disabled person has no rights to it.
Right.
Okay? So the government has no rights to it. And that's really important.
Very important.
Okay? That's really, a lot of people don't know that, and that is really, really, really important.
So, Ethel, what else should people know, the sixth thing about trusts? You talked a little bit about it in terms of dealing with disabled persons.
Mm-hmm.
What else should people know about trust?
Trust give you control. Trust give you privacy. Trust can help you to avoid probate, but they got to be done right. And not only do you have to do the trust right, but you also have to change the title to your property into the name of the trust. And that means doing a deed from yourself to yourself as trustees, usually if you're doing a revocable trust. There are a lot of different kinds of trusts. Not everybody needs to have a trust, but certainly when you have minor children, when you have disabled persons, when you want to control the distribution of your property after your death, a trust may be the way to go.
Okay.
So I like to meet with people, find out what their intentions are, and then use a trust to accomplish it if it's appropriate. In many instances, they don't really need a trust, and I will tell you that.
And that's good, because you've mentioned there is no cookie-cutter approach.
There really isn't.
You really should meet with an attorney.
One of the biggest misconceptions, however, is you need to have $1 million or so to have a trust. No, you do not.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about who you want to be, who your heirs are, what the considerations are, and how much money are we talking about them getting? Because, yes, you don't want an 18-year-old to get $1 million.
Right.
Okay? I mean, you just don't. I'm sorry. That's you know, right. So if you're leaving them a house, which in D.C. can easily be $1 million, and you got life insurance for this child, and you've got retirement and so on, they're getting all this stuff, then you may want to talk about a trust because you want to control their access to it.
Very important.
So it keeps privacy, and that's really good. That's really good.
And what should people know about gifting?
Gifting is something that you can do on either a one-time basis or you can do it on a regular basis. If you have a charitable intention, for example, you want to gift money for research, for diabetes. There are all kinds of wonderful causes out there that you can gift money to. You can do it both by pledging and then setting up regular assignments of money for those things. You can also do it after death by putting it in your will or in your trust. Give this money to my church. Give this money to this organization. You can put it in your trust or your will, for that matter. You can also do it in your life insurance. You can say, give my life insurance policy, 10% of it to my church.
Mm-hmm.
You can give, you know, 20% to somebody, you know, a cause or whatever. You can give, one of the best places to give money from is retirement accounts.
Okay.
Because when you give to a charity from a retirement account, you should know that a charity gets the full appreciated value of what you're giving. So, for example, maybe you have a house you bought for $25,000 and now it's worth $500,000. If you give that house to your church or to a charity, the church gets the full basis of that, I mean, the full value of it, or stock. It gets all of it. It gets whatever is in that retirement account. The one thing that you should know, though, at least in my experience, is if it's cash money in an account, they will, and you have access to that money, they will want it to be given in percentages, not in a certain amount, because they can't be sure a certain amount is going to be available at the end. So you'll do a percentage. And you can do a percentage to my children and a percentage to the charity.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all kind of charitable trusts, which is beyond the scope of this discussion, where you can set up charitable trust to give also as well.
Great. A lot of creative ways of gifting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know
we
have about 3 more things to get through. I know you wanted to mention things that singles should be aware of.
Yes, my single listeners, listen up. It is really important for single people to have these documents. You may say, I don't have children. Why should I bother? Well, you should bother because you spent your life accumulating all this stuff. You pay a mortgage. You have money. You should direct how your assets are to be distributed because otherwise it's a fight. And it gets scattered among your various cousins or your sibling or your God only knows who. So you need to have, number one, power of attorney so that if you get sick, somebody's able to take care of you. If you get disabled, somebody's able to do legal and financial matters for you. Somebody's able to manage your bank account and so forth. Somebody's able to talk to your job about what needs to happen with you or with your benefits and so forth. If you are single, whether it's because you are widowed or a widower because your spouse died, maybe you never married. Maybe you are single and you are living with someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you own a house and your intention is for your beloved that you're living with to have that house, you need to put in your will that that's what you want because they have no legal rights otherwise.
Unless you have designated such.
In a legally enforceable way.
Okay.
You don't have to put their name on the deed.
Okay.
I'm not telling you to do that. Okay.
But
you, if you do a will
you
or you do
there.
A trust, you can say, when I die, I want my house to go to this person. Okay.
Or a percentage of.
Or a percentage
however
of.
However.
Absolutely.
You want to do it. Okay.
You need to have medical directives if you are living with some, especially if you're in a same-sex situation.
Mm-hmm.
There have been numerous bitter arguments between the family who disapproves of the situation and the person you've been living with all this time.
That has loved you for
20
years.
And you get sick and you go to the hospital and the family puts them out. And there's nothing they can do about it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, and child, people come out the woodworks when you die.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Even in your own family, people come out the woodworks.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important for you to protect your loved one by putting their names on the either the will, if you have a business interest with somebody, if you have been slaving with somebody for years in a business or something, your name better be on that property or
absolutely.
On the title to the corporation, you know, in the bank accounts as a corporate officer. Your name needs to be on the deed. There have been so many men and women who have helped to pay mortgages and struggled with people and so on, and the person dies, and
nothing.
The other person's family comes in and kicks you out, literally.
And they can do that.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
You better believe
wow.
it. You
get
better
it together.
Believe it.
It would have been saying, get your business straight.
Yeah. You need to know that's why we're doing this show, so people know what they need to do. It's important. It really is. It's very important.
And Ethel, what else do we need to know? What is on this top 10 list? You know, we are enlightened this morning from the expert.
Well, one of the things you should know, as I said before, if you put somebody's name on your deed, you can't take it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they agree.
Mm-hmm.
You can't unilaterally take it off.
Mm-hmm.
It also means that once you put somebody's name on your deed and they don't take it off, then they are in control of their share of the deed. So if you decide you want to put somebody's name on as joint tenants with rights of survivorship,
mm-hmm.
so when you die, they get it all, understand that it is all theirs when you die, which means you can no longer control what happens to it after your death. You have to trust them to follow your wishes,
mm-hmm.
okay? You can do it as tenants in common where you can control your share. But if you do it as joint tenants with rights of survivorship, you've lost control.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's important is when should you review your legal documents? When somebody dies, if you've named somebody in your will or you've to either be a beneficiary or to be your executor, you've given power of attorney to somebody and they die
mm-hmm.
or they get very sick, and can no longer do it. Maybe they move out of the area and or your relationship with that person changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people fall in and out of favor with folks for whatever reason, okay? Then you may want to come in and make some changes. If you receive large inheritances, you know, the baby boomers, and I'm a baby boomer, we got lots of money and we are moving through. So make sure if there's a change, if you remarry, if you receive an inheritance, if you have a new grandchild, all of those kinds of things are important. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope
yes.
people have learned a lot. Call me.
Yes, and remind them of the number.
202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988. Call me, Ethel Mitchell. This is all that I do. This is the kind of legal work that I do, and I enjoy it. So please do give me a call. I'd be glad to go through all of these things with you and prepare your documents, get them ready for you so that, you know, the inevitable is going to happen. We can't take it with us.
That's right.
Can't
well,
take
Ethel,
it with
I'm
you.
I'm turning the show back over to you officially. And do you have any other closing thoughts or information for
listen
for
in next week so we'll have Attorney Donna Sachs who will come in and talk to us about Medicaid, how to plan for end of life when that is a possible issue,
mm-hmm.
how to protect your assets and so forth. So please listen in because I get a lot of calls about that, and this is one of the lawyers that I send people to because
oh,
she
good.
Is really, really good with that kind of this portion of estate planning. So do listen in for that. Give me a call or email me at Ethel@lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. Again, 202-772-1988. We didn't have much time for our news, good news section, but the mayor of Shreveport is a black woman, and I'm from Louisiana, and I know how
like
bad
that
was. Oh, Louisiana used to be the headquarters for the KKK, so we have changed things tremendously, and anyway, we'll have more good news next week.
We'll talk about the
so
next
call
week.
Me and give me a call, 202-772-1988. Have a good week, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy.
News updates on the web at WOLDCnews.com. 1450 WOL, Washington, D.C. and WPRS HD2, Waldorf, Washington. A Radio 1 station and worldwide at WOLDCnews.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time. And this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference? Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Welcome, NBA fans. Tonight, NBA
Man,
Magic.
Nothing beats seeing an NBA game in person.
Hey, buddy, thanks again for driving. So, where are our seats?
Oh, we're sitting right around the corner. Hey, but before we do anything, let me stop for a second at the designated driver booth and make the pledge.
Excuse me, sir. Did you say designated driver?
Yeah, I'm the designated driver tonight.
Congratulations. You are a winner. And for being the designated driver and always buckling up every trip, every time, you have won the adoration of your friends and family who will get home safely from the game.
Cool.
Your prize also includes the gratitude of all of the drivers on the road who won't have to fear for their lives. And finally, you've won the chance to follow your favorite NBA team to the NBA Finals because responsibility has its rewards.
Woo! Yeah!
To find out more, visit the designated driver booth at the arena or visit rhir.org. A message from this station and Team Coalition.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Well, I don't
I don't know what just happened with that. Welcome to 124-2015. Keeping up with the Joneses. That's not what we... There you go. I thought, yeah, get this play behind. We were confused. We do like, yeah, we are. We just came on. They say, oh, boo, that's how it is. Welcome to Keeping Up With The Joneses. We are live 124-2015. Keeping Up With The Joneses on the WL Downtown Studio. Sometimes you got to be prepared. Our producer just threw us right on in. He said, go right on in. You're bad, I know. And it's my man Booty does. And it's kind of, you know, actually our conversations start even off the air. You know, we try to figure out what music we want to come into, that kind of stuff. And we were just talking about world news. To me, it just seemed like Syria, our foreign policies, our foreign countries, we're not doing well. We're not in harmony, seems like. It seemed like it's so much turmoil. And a lot of it could be contributed to, of course, us wanting to come over there and put our spin on it, you know, take the lead. You know, remember, you give me, you reach up, we'll take your hand type of thing. It seems like it's been an evolution since that point, but we don't really talk about it much from a national point. I guess you got to be really looking and reading to understand what's going on, you know. But is it Saudi, the big on front post, yeah, the Saudi king is passed.
They laying the king to rest.
A lot, you know.
The king.
Yemen, they hold the counter terror efforts in Yemen. We're halting there. We got fighting in Syria.
They just took our man out of Yemen. They took him out. He didn't. He's like, I'm gone.
He
said, look, you don't have no more problems out of me. They said, look, you can still be the king because we know you're America's puppet. But we want, you know, we have this control. They got him locked in his own palace. They surrendered. They done ran all his guards away and took over the security of his palace. So he agreed to be just the president, and I'm gonna do whatever you say, kind of president. He agreed to that.
Okay. And I'm gonna yes him.
Yeah. And once he said it, then okay, great. And then they started letting everybody do what they do in town, no problem. So finally, he had to say, look, I can't do it because America ain't gonna allow me to do this, and he resigned.
He resigned from the country, being the head of the country. I'm gone.
Not only he resigned, his whole cabinet said, I'm out here too. But they all work for America too. You know, remember, this is last year, a year almost to the day, the president got up there and said that Yemen is one of our success stories after they got this, you know, that crew in power, you know. They were dropping drones over there right now like it's out of this world, you know what I'm saying? And you know, this is what the president said. In the same time a year ago,
mm-hmm.
1 year, he called ISIS the JV team.
Well, yeah.
He called ISIS. He used the word JV team.
Look it up, huh? I can look it up.
No. He said this. This is his number one statement about ISIS. This is the first.
He said they JV.
That's what he said.
1-800-450-7876.
Man, these people 1-800-450-7876. The next 10 Super Bowl champions.
Wow. You know, based on experience, based on where they come from. Because at first it was Al-Qaeda. Now, ISIS have taken over Al-Qaeda, or are they two different splinters? I know they're all terrorists, but...
They're not all terrorists. They're
deemed under the terrorists.
Well, I'm sorry. They are a terror, you know, because they do terror things, you know, mm-hmm. but they are idealists. You know, they want the world to be under a Sharia law. Now, everybody in America, probably, you know, maybe a small percent that sympathize with that, want it not to be that way.
Right. They want their freedom. They want their
But that's what I'm saying. So they agree 100% of how we want to live.
The people here.
Us.
Right.
Talking right now. You know what I'm saying?
They want to live that.
They don't want to live nothing like this. Nothing.
But it's been working for them for however long. Let them do what they do.
Tens of thousands of years they've been living like that.
But is that new age? The new age is...
No, people in their business.
Hmm.
See, they don't bother nobody. you know, if you don't bother them. You know, right now, they over there running the Christians out all that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even everywhere, you know, they running the Christians away if they're not killing them. Well, a lot of them are being killed. You see, but that's, you know, that's our way. We're, you know, we're a Christian nation, whatever we call ourselves, you know, but you know, that's not what they are.
Mm-mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, in some places they are the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they do feed the people, they do build hospitals, they do a lot of things.
And that's just the way they live.
Well, we walk down the street with a